1-800-259-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
I want to bring on Doug Danger. Doug is the entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier. Doug, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Phil. Thank you for having me.
You, in your column this morning, called President Bush simple-minded.
Well, I think that he is. I think President Bush is being really simple-minded with his military strategy in Iraq. Phil, as you know, I am a gay man and a gay journalist. I came out as a homosexual man almost 3 months ago. And I have seen so much in my life as an out gay man, and I think that President Bush, if he wants to effect a speedy victory in Iraq, I think we have to go in as a, first of all, I think we have to go in using air power. I think we need to use paratroopers. I think we need to go in sneak attack using camouflage. And his idea of using land-based troops for an initial land-based invasion, I think it shows... just what a simple-minded fool we've got for it. And I love the president, and I don't want you to get any wrong ideas or any of your listeners to get a wrong idea. I respect President Bush. I think since 9/11, I think he's shown the world that he can be an effective leader. But I'll tell you, there are times when he is just a simple-minded simpleton, and this whole land-based thing.
Well, this is kind of a departure for you, isn't it?
In what way? See, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
No, hold on for a minute. But this is a departure. You're an entertainment writer. Isn't this a little bit like Rex Reed writing about the...
Let's not go Rex Reed, because he's, he's an embarrassment, I think, to anybody who writes entertainment for a living. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and as a gay journalist, I've covered entertainment. There's no doubt about that.
Well, I know, but what I'm asking you is, how does that qualify you to write about national policy vis-a-vis military strategy?
Well, I'll tell you this much, Phil. Have you ever been... And I could ask you this, and I could ask Craig this, ask Janice, or anybody in your audience, how many people in your audience have been on the set on a location shoot, okay, of a major war film? And I would just go ahead and ask you that.
You're asking me?
I'm asking anybody who wants to answer.
No, I have not. Janice, have you ever? Craig, nobody has.
All right, I was on location, Steven Spielberg, Dale Dye. Dale is a terrific guy, has Warriors Incorporated. He was the person who choreographed Saving Private Ryan. I saw the opening shots to Saving Private Ryan. And until you're there, until you see what can happen to a human being when he's shot through with a machine gun, I'll tell you right now, it's a frightening thing. And so I would say...
All right, so you've been on the set of a movie as it's being shot, okay? But the question that I have for you is that...
Phil, have you ever... Let me ask you this question, all right? Have you ever punched up a script?
No, I've never punched up a script.
All right. During the opening scene to Saving Private Ryan, Dale Dye said, it's not working. He was frustrated. I said, why don't you have the German machine gun open up on the GIs as they're still in the ocean? Not when they hit the beach, but while they're still in the ocean. And I'll never forget Dale looking at me, and he kind of winked over at Spielberg, and he said, by God, that's it. And they called a reset, and I'll tell you something, 2,000 extras they had to reset. But that's what you call punched up a script, and I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Yes, I've heard of it.
All right, now you're doing NBC. I know this little half hour, and say hello to Shelley for me. I know she's a scream with a couple of Aper Martinis in her.
But the point you were on the set of Saving Private Ryan then.
Look, this guy Bush... is going to embarrass himself with a sea landing as opposed to an airdrop. See, Phil, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, a land infantry assault is doomed. Now, this simple-minded fool we've got for president right now...
You know, I'm going to ask you to stop calling him that, if you wouldn't mind, Doug. I'm not claiming to have the same expertise as you in military matters, although so far you've told me you've been on a...
Well, what are you asking me to do?
I'm asking you not to call the president of the United States a simple-minded fool.
Phil, I'll tell you... I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Nobody tells me what to say. I've been out 3 months, and since that time, I've learned how to value freedom of speech.
Well, where does it get you calling him a simple-minded fool?
I think it's descriptive, and I'll have to respectfully disagree with you on that, Phil. I think it's very descriptive of the president. This simpleton wants us to go in by land-based troops and then do airdrops. I say we go in with air power first, camouflage, sneak attack. What they do, Phil, and I don't know if you've seen how they paint green and the green on the face, and then they go in and they look like they're a bush or whatever. I don't know what they're trying to do. They look like a tree, and then they shoot a guy so it looks like a tree shot a guy. That's what they. That's what camouflage on the face does.
All right, Doug Danger is with us.
See, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I'm used to homophobia.
I'm not being homophobic. I hope you understand that.
Well, then what's with the questions?
I question as to whether a entertainment writer, a man who's written about movies, can write about America's military strategy in Iraq.
I just told you, Phil, I was on location.
Yeah, you were on location with Steven Spielberg, and you also said to me that you were on location with Oliver Stone for Born on the 4th of July. I need to give our phone number out here, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. My guest is Doug Danger. He's the entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier, and he is talking. As you know, President Bush signed a resolution approved by Congress that authorizes the use of force in Iraq, and we're talking military strategy here. The reason why I'm talking to you, Doug, is you had a very unusual column this morning in your newspaper where you called the president simple-minded. You say that his strategy... What exactly? You don't like the idea of a land-based invasion?
All right, look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and airstrike is the only way we should go into Iraq utilizing paratrooper power. I'm talking airborne. I'm talking the guys from 41st Airborne. I'm talking the guys in 101st Airborne. Take our airborne in. But to use a land-based attack, and that is 40,000 to 50,000 soldiers, is absolutely stupid. And this simple-minded fool we've got for a president who thinks the whole world, you know, he thinks this is Custer's last stand or what have you, I think it's pretty stupid. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I have been up against homophobia before.
It is not homophobia for me to disagree with you on your philosophy that we should only use air power as opposed to a land-based attack. And again, I fail to see...
Look, Phil, on Born on the 4th of July, which is a shoot, and I was on that...
Yeah, that's a movie.
It's a movie, but listen to me. Oliver Stone said to me as he was shooting Born on the 4th of July, they're recreating a scene from Da Nang. It was a beach scene. A platoon is going on a frontal assault against a ville, and they got 5-6 NVA machine gun nests. And I said to him, is that not suicide? Wouldn't you use air support from Hueys, some Huey gunships? And he said, and I'll never forget the look on his face, he said, sweet Christ, you're right. So we reset the shot. Now, all I'm saying to you, Phil, is as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I looked at that situation, and I said to myself, this is suicide for a platoon to go in frontally when you got 6-7 NVA machine gun nests, rather than getting air cover from some gunships.
And Oliver Stone...
He reshot that scene based upon some of the things that he and I talked about. I didn't say that I did that, but I'm telling you, this simple-minded fool we got for president wants to go in with a 40, 50,000 assault force on the ground in Iraq, and I'm telling you right now, what we need is air cover, deep air support, paratroopers, special forces... And go for it. As a gay man and as a gay journalist, some people want to hear that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Should we go in as a ground force or should we use air support? And you're being gay, Doug.
Well, watch the homophobia, Phil, because I've had enough.
You know I'm not homophobic, but the whole gay man and gay journalist...
As a gay man, as a gay journalist, Phil, I've been on some of the biggest movie shoots I've seen firsthand. I've been out of the closet.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Joe, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger.
Hey, thanks. So this is Joe, and coming out of Wichita. I'm a former airborne ranger.
No, you're the guys. You're the guys we need to use.
Who cares if you're gay or not? That's got nothing to do with knowing military strategy.
No, as a gay man,
the fact that you watched, someone make a movie. What's that got to do with any combat experience?
Well, I was talking to Dale Dye. You're absolutely clueless.
Sir,
I was talking to Captain Dale Dye of the United States Marine Corps, who is the consultant on the Saving Private Ryan's shoot. And when I said to him, why don't you have them the German machine guns open up while they're still in the landing craft, he hadn't thought about that.
Dale Dye hadn't thought about that.
No.
Well, if you talk to Stephen Ambrose and understand what actually happened at D-Day... And the record of the 29th Division, you would know such things.
Well, Stephen Ambrose is not spelling too good right now. Wait a second. That's a hell of a thing to say about Stephen Ambrose, who just died.
Didn't Stephen Ambrose just die, Joe?
Yeah, he's a profound man and a wonderful hero.
Right, and listen, for you to say he isn't smelling too good right now.
I'm making a joke.
I didn't say that.
No, the other guy did.
Hey, listen. The fact that someone disagrees with you, the fact that someone disagrees with you,
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist,
and you're gay, doesn't mean that they're homophobes. They simply disagree with you. If you can't get beyond that you're gay, you really got a problem.
No, wait a second. I'm a gay man. You know I'm gay, right?
Who cares if you're gay?
All right, I understand. The point that I'm trying to say is that Bush, that simple-minded clown, is going to have 50,000 guys hung up on the beach.
He is my president.
All right, that's fine, but that clown's going to have 50,000 guys hung up on the beach.
He is not
You know as well as I do, we got to get guys in deep, paratroop, drop some guys in. Let's get some camouflage.
You don't know squat about military strategy.
Have you ever put on camouflage?
What?
Well, you do?
This guy was an airborne. Weren't you an airborne, Joe?
Airborne Ranger.
Okay, then you know how to put on camouflage, right?
Hey, listen, I've had to bleed through my skin for weeks and weeks.
Tell me I'm wrong. When you guys put on the green, whatever you call that, you blend right in, don't you? You look like a bush or a weed or something like that.
Well, if you blend right in, you can't be seen at all.
Okay. Why can't we take some of you guys with some of that weed, the weed makeup that you wear, drop you in, a sneak attack on Saddam Hussein, and take about a battalion-sized strength. You're in, you're out, you're in, you're out. That's gone. But no. That simple-minded clown wants to hang up 50.
Will you not call the president a simple-minded clown?
He wants to hang up.
It's not that simple.
Look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Who gives a damn? Are you got a problem with your sexuality?
I got no problem.
Go talk to a shrink.
No, you got a problem.
You're not a military terrorist.
You seem to have a problem with my sexuality.
No, he doesn't.
No,
he's just saying.
I got a problem with your logic. What does your, where do you think your penis doesn't matter? Where do you, how you know how to fight?
Well, what do you think? What do you think we ought to do in Iraq?
I think we ought to. Hope that it's fought through because
it's a very
complex situation.
Oh, see that you're not committing. I'm committed to a course of action. We send in the airborne, sneak attack, put on some of that weed.
It's not called weed camouflage. It's the green.
Look.
I've thought this through, sir. I have thought this through as a gay man and as a gay journalist.
Who cares what your sexuality is and your ability to think with your good beyond it?
What do? You wiping your nose with your phone, man? I could.
Okay, look, Joe, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate your call. Doug Danger is with us. And the idea that he's calling the President of the United States a simple-minded clown is bothering me a little bit. And I would have my producer, Janice, to get on the phone with him and ask him to stop doing that. Doug believes that the president's strategy for attacking Iraq is wrong. We shouldn't go in with land-based troops. We should go in with air cover. And we've had Doug on the program before. The fact that he is a gay man and a gay journalist is by no means anything that bothers me.
Oh, but you're homophobia, though, Phil.
No, it's not homophobia, okay?
Well, I don't know why that guy was so obsessed with my sexuality.
You keep saying you're gay.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? I've earned my stripes in this world.
That's what you keep saying it.
Well, what's he hung up about it for?
He's not hung up about it. You keep saying it.
No, he was. Every time I said I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, he got nuts. He started getting really crazy, psycho, like those Vietnam vets get.
He's not getting nuts. You were the one who was saying the point that I'm trying to make to you guys. Put him on hold for a minute, and don't use that simple-minded. He thinks President Bush is a simple-minded fool and doesn't know military strategy. Doug Danger does. The problem we've got here with Doug is that he's an entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier, not a military writer. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Our question on the table this hour on the Phil Henry Show, is President Bush a, quote, simple-minded fool, end quote, for wanting to use a land-based attack in Iraq, or should he use deep-drop paratroopers and surprise attacks with guys wearing camouflage paint? 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Henry Show.
This is The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, gay man.
All right, what is this petition? Doug Danger is with us. He's an entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier who thinks that President Bush is a simple-minded clown with his strategy in Iraq, his military strategy.
Absolutely.
What is this petition?
The petition says, basically asks the president to step aside and not do anything stupid in Iraq. It directs the military to use paratroopers and sneak attack using camouflage. Don't tell anybody that they're going in. And this strategy is based on a few war movies that I've been on location for. Now, I understand, Phil.
Doug.
Now, hold on. I understand that I haven't been in actual combat, but neither has George Bush. Now, I like the president, but that simple-minded clown is trying to a strategy in Iraq that's going to backfire. What I want us to do is use air cover, swoop in low under the radar, drop in down in the mountain areas, then come down, camp out for two nights, then go on in, then go back up. They can take rations of beans, and dehydrated pork or whatever, have a meal, go back down, kick a little more ass, go back up into the hills. Now, Bush has absolutely no military background. I've saved two major battle scenes in two motion pictures. Now, you can call that a small thing.
That is not war.
You could, but what's Bush done? See what I'm saying? What's he done?
He's directed a victorious war in Afghanistan.
Well, that's okay. All right. That is equal to the two movies that I've done. He didn't do anything like that. He just asked some guys to do something, and they kicked ass on some guys. The Taliban, Phil, uses Datsun pickup trucks. That's their military vehicle.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I don't know whether this is an argument again.
And as a gay man and as a gay journalist, and I want to get that out.
Yeah, you keep getting that out.
But it's important to let people know that as a gay man, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I can recognize the truth.
All right, well, I don't know whether this discussion is about President Bush's military strategy or your ability to recognize military strategy. 1-800-449-8686. Steve, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine.
Good. Well, I tell you, you know, I've been in the Army for 22 years now, as of today, and I got to tell you.
Oh, here we go. We got another guy who's been in the Army a long time.
Yeah, and like the guy previously, I'm an airborne ranger.
Sure.
And I've been around since
sure you are.
Grenada and Panama.
Airborne
and
ranger. You know something? If all the guys who really were airborne rangers calling this show were airborne rangers, we'd have like 8 million of them. You're not an airborne ranger, though, are you?
I currently
you're a cook.
Am.
You're a cook, right?
Why are you calling the guy
I'm
a cook?
I'm an 11 Zulu, 5 Victor.
11 Fox Zulu, 7. 5 Victor. I don't know what that means.
That means I am a sergeant major.
You're a Zulu?
Zulu. That's 11 is infantry. Zulu
all right,
is,
well, let's get to the point of what it is you're talking about.
Right,
the point is that,
first of all, this guy needs to understand
I'm
that
a gay
the
man and a gay journalist.
Plans are not Bush's plans, that those are plans that are developed at the Pentagon by the guys that fight the wars.
Yeah, but he's got to sign off on them. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist who's written about these kinds of things for 15 years.
Well, you know, and I understand that, and I appreciate that. And the thing is that, you know, reality is not in a camera out of Hollywood.
You know I'm gay.
Well, yeah, you've told me.
I've had to fight my own battle. An out gay man and a gay journalist. So I've had almost a sixth sense for military action.
Whatever. Go ahead and finish,
cool.
Steve.
That's cool. And as a gay man, I appreciate that. And you're
Thank
entitled
you.
To your opinion. And for the last 22 years, I have defended your right to have your opinion, your right to be a gay man and a gay journalist.
And I am gay.
Okay, yes. So what would you say, Steve? Do you think the president's plan needs to be what it is?
His plan is...
We follow that simple-minded clown, and that plan, we're going to have 2 feet in it. And we're going to be waiting around and up to our waist.
Well,
I'll tell you right
well,
now, we're going to have more problems than a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs.
Well, that's always a possibility.
And that's Dr. Hood.
You cannot
long-tailed
say
cat
for
in a
sure.
Room full of
You can never
That's
say that this is what's going to happen.
I think you're right, Steve, and thank you for your service to our country.
If, in fact, you were a ranger.
I'm sure he was. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
You call Doug Danger's with us, entertainment critic for the Orange County Courier. You call President Bush a simple-minded fool because he has no military experience. What movies sets have you been on? You say you've been on location on four major war films.
Phil, I was on the on location with Steven Spielberg and Dale Dye and Saving Private Ryan. I was on location with Oliver Stone and Born on the 4th of July. I was on location with some of the technical advisors on Sergeant Bilko and on the technical side with Wind Talkers, starring Nicolas Cage. And if you are, that's why I have asked the Department of Navy to make me a Navy SEAL so I can go in as a journalist.
Doug, becoming a Navy SEAL takes a lot of training.
Don't go there with me, Phil. I know all the training it takes. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and what I have been through at the hands of straight people, and I've been out of the closet three and a half months, qualifies me for any military duty you want to talk about. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've put up with more than any Navy SEAL has ever put up with. So
you are proposing honorary status in the Navy SEALs?
I am proposing full status in the Navy SEALs.
As a journalist?
As a journalist combatant, yes.
The SEALs are a highly proficient...
Phil, I know, don't go there.
No, I want to... They're a highly proficient military unit. They do demolition. They do underwater demolition. They are hand-to-hand combat.
I'm a gay man. I saw a show on the Learning Channel about the Navy SEAL training. It gives you an awful lot of input. No, there's no way that they can say that I don't belong in the SEALs, or at least Army Rangers. And I want to be the first journalist combatant to go into action.
You want to carry a pen and a pad and a gun?
You got it. You better believe it. I'm gay. And look, I had lunch with Demi Moore at least three times. Have you seen G.I. Jane? Have you seen what an absolute abortion that was? The SEALs put the stamp of approval on that. Some broad...
Well, you know, for a gay man and a gay journalist who's been up against a lot of discrimination, that whole broad thing, I think...
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't think I do. 1-800-449-8686. Danny, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I'd like to say, first of all, who cares that you're gay?
No, I just said it. Hold on a second. Stop talking.
Let me talk. You've already said it enough times. You have no true experience as to what it is to be in the military. You have no idea what's going on in Washington, what they're planning, and what they're saying to the public.
I've got the whole plan.
What they say in the public, what they let the public hear about, has probably nothing to do with what's going to really happen.
No,
you are just wanting to get your 2 cents, get your name in the radio, and let everybody know that you're gay. That's what you're trying to do.
Because you
have said it on more than enough times.
You're
getting people bored with the fact that you're saying that you're a gay man and you're a journalist.
But you're aware that I'm gay. You're aware that I'm gay.
Who cares?
Are you aware that I'm gay?
Who the hell cares?
Well,
if you want to talk about military, first, even who says that you're going to let you in to become a Navy SEAL without even having gone through boot camp?
I'll tell you what.
I bet you won't even make it to boot camp.
What I put up with as a gay man and a gay journalist.
You've only been out for 3 months. What do you know what it's being gay? You've only been out for three freaking months.
I am not afraid to say that I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Let a gay man that has been out for the majority of their lifetime speak. And
I know gay men.
They will probably be embarrassed to say that they know that you're gay.
Look, I want to be a gay Navy SEAL to show that I'm able to be a combatant journalist.
Now, you're not going to allow a journalist to carry a gun.
I'll prove them wrong. I can go in with the Navy SEALs. I can go in with the demolition team on any Iraqi vessel you want to talk about in deep water harbor operations. I can blow hell out of a Iraqi minesweeper. See, there you go with your homophobia.
I do not hate gay people.
I'm a gay man.
I have plenty of gay friends.
Okay, are they gay?
He just said he has gay friends.
You don't even listen to what people are telling you.
No, sir, I hear what you're saying. I want to know, are your friends gay?
I just finished saying that they are.
He just told you that he has gay friends.
All right, instead of them calling me a SEAL because I'm gay, I want them to call me a gay Navy SEAL with a starfish. That's what I want them to do.
A starfish?
That's what all gay operatives in the Navy SEALs should have, a starfish symbol to show that they are gay demolition experts. So stand back.
Wait a minute. You're trying to tell me that the Navy SEALs should put a starfish on all their gay members because that's what?
That's a highly proficient demolition team of highly gay individuals. This is what I mean about the homophobia.
All you want to do is get out on the radio and let everybody know that you're gay.
But
that's
sir, you
all
laugh,
you're trying to do.
You laugh at my gayety. And so I have to say,
no, I laugh
you
at
have
you.
A gay
not at the fact that you're gay. I laugh at you because you are the true fool. And
I'm
the only single-minded fool here is you.
Let's get back to what I was talking about. President Bush wants to go in with
you
land-based infantry.
You are the only single-minded fool. And it's embarrassing to know that a newspaper or somebody would allow you to write a column in their paper.
And let's remember the paper, the Orange County Courier.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
50 cents a day. Go ahead,
I would be embarrassed if I was the editor of that paper and I heard this
sir,
program tonight. I would be embarrassed to know that you're employed by me.
Sir, if you have a gayophobia, that's fine.
I have no gayophobia.
Right. Well, what's your plan? Come on, what's your plan? Come on, come on, what's your plan?
What is
you
my plan?
No plan?
To let the people
my
to that know. My plan is to let the people that
right.
know what the hell they're talking about do their thing without having idiots like you
know what they're
trying
talking
to
about.
Tell them what to do.
That simple-minded clown Bush is going to have us blown from here to there.
That simple-minded clown Bush has more balls and more of anything than you will ever have.
Well, I think you've got a fagophobia going. I think that
what
a
fagophobia.
The only fagophobia there is here is you, because you have the key to let everybody know that you're gay.
Sir, I believe that our country would benefit from a highly placed gay team.
A gay man can be good anywhere.
Oh,
it doesn't matter if they're gay, if it's a woman, if it's a lesbian.
If
they are good at whatever job they do,
okay.
That's what matters.
But if you're not
what performance they can do, not what whether their homosexuality it comes into effect. That
well,
doesn't have anything to do with it.
What are you talking about President Bush's balls for if you're not got some homophobia thing going on?
See,
I'm
he's talking
about
the man's courage. All right. This is absolutely not working. And turn that music off. We're not done yet. This is not working, okay?
Why are you so obsessed with my sexuality, Danny?
Phil,
I want to know.
Phil.
Yes, sir.
I've wasted enough of my,
all right, sir.
My
I appreciate
cell phone
it.
Time on
yeah,
this.
It sounds to me like someone might be ready to come out. You want me to help you come on out?
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, you're so adult.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I said that we could have a team of very proficient, sharply developed gay men with an entire passel of explosives going in under the deep cover of night into some of the darkest deep-water nightclubs in Baghdad, and we could completely destroy, and this would be the Starfish Brigade. Now, you can kiss my bright red rosy on Main Street, and all of the homophobics out there...
Wait a minute. You are proposing that the Navy SEALs create a Starfish Brigade.
Here comes the homophobia. Here it comes. Go ahead, Phil.
No, I didn't say anything. I'm just asking. A Starfish Brigade?
So, how many facts did you beat up last week, Phil?
I haven't beaten up any. Are you asking to have... Turn that music off.
That's my music.
You're proposing a gay unit of the Navy SEALs.
Yeah.
Called the Starfish Brigade.
Yeah. Now, if anybody's got a problem with that... I'm going to be out in front of the Orange County Courier building today at 8 p.m. I'll take on anybody who wants to take me on. I'll tell you right now, I'll kick ass around the block for drill. I know taekwondo, and I know a little kung fu, and I could do some street fighting, too.
Yeah, okay, Doug. Well, good luck with that Starfish Brigade.
Homophobic?
That's me. 1-800-449-8686. Excuse me, 1-800-449-8686.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Ow.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Our website is truly the place to be to find out about our show and to enjoy everything that is the Phil Hendry Show. And I'd like to give you our web address, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Now, most radio shows really have websites for, I don't know why, maybe to sell T-shirts or to have message boards or chat rooms. And we really don't want to waste your time. We want to give you the quality audio, the quality archives. We want to give you what the radio show is all about, and that's the radio show. The great stuff that we do on this show day in and day out, the classic comedy bits that we do, like this last one that we just did with the voice of, who was that I just did? See, I forgot, who? Doug. Oh, Doug Danger. Yeah, that was me doing the voice of Doug. And the people calling in, they think he's a real guy. Is that a riot or what? I mean, that's the greatest thing in the world. I want to start the Starfish Brigade. So anyway, we have all of this stuff archived on our website. To me, that's the key ingredient of the Phil Hendry Show website, our Comedy Gold archive, long form, short form bits, full shows, 30 days of archive material, and the Comedy Gold archives go back for like 8-9 years. It's all there on the Phil Hendry Show website. However, we also have places where you can pick up souvenirs of the Phil Hendry Show, like our souvenir shop, the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. This is a shirt that looks good either formally, informally, take it to a barbecue, put it on at Christmas. Hey, listen, Christmas time is coming up, and what better gift for the man in your family than the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt? Pretty good gift for the woman in your family. It comes in the small, medium, large, extra large, or a double extra large shirt, and it is a royal blue and black. It's just gorgeous. The fabric is high quality. It's got, what do you call the stitching? It's hand-stitched. It's a double-stitched, hand-embroidered Ted's of Beverly Hills logo on the back. Then we have our Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt, as well as 6 or 7 years' worth of our Best Of CDs. So if there's a Phil Hendry fan in your home, you got to go to our website and pick up some of the things from our souvenir shop. But again, the best part, I think, of our website is the audio. It is top-quality, beautiful stuff. You know, the audio quality is there, man, as opposed to some of the fan sites that carry our things, and it's kind of mung. So check it out, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And don't forget, our Best of the Year 2002 double CD is coming out called World Famous. And the beauty of this, you're going to get two CDs for the price of one. Our CD doesn't go up in price at all. It remains at $20. Now, today, I said to Janice, with an innocent look on my face as I was scratching my rear end and sipping my latte from Starbucks, I said, boy, I sure do miss Temptation Island. I really miss that show. It was on 2 years. They had the one, then they had two. Gone. It's not on anymore, I don't believe. And the thing I missed the most about that show was some of the places they went to and were gorgeous. They were in Belize. They had that really sweet-looking resort they were hanging at. They had those big spas outside everybody's room, you know, and then they get done snorkeling, and they're going back to the hotel bar, sipping a couple of coconut drinks, having a couple of rum drinks, jumping into the spa. You're there for like a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks with really good-looking people. But the problem is it's wasted on some of the world's dumbest human beings that were ever allowed to live past the cradle stage. Other than Waitasi and Tahid. Do we remember them? Nah, that was walking class. Oh, God, do I? I wish I was them. Remember them? Remember them from the first season? Waitasi and Tahid? They were married, which, of course, everybody's married, but they had a kid. And they're on this show, and they're lip-locking other people, and they're going through the machinations that you're supposed to go to, getting tempted. And who is the guy? Is it Waitasi or Tahid? I wouldn't know the name. Which is the masculine name? Whoever the guy was. Tahid? What a real pile of dreck he was. I swear to God, what I loved most about that show was watching how disgusting those two people were. Then what they did is they sued Fox, because according to them, Fox knew all along that they had a kid. And they're a couple of actors, and they're looking to get a gig and looking to get exposure. And, you know, so it's somebody else's fault. Forget that they got a kid at home. Forget that they're on television being recorded making out with people and tossing a few back and acting like a complete and utter scumbag. God, I hated them. I really did. And I know why now I hated them. I know why. Because they're black. That's right, because they're black. And I don't like black people. No, they were vile. Vile. I think I'd like to have them on my show. So if you're out there, Wytosi and Tahid, and you'd like to be on the Phil Hendry Show, so send a self-addressed stamped envelope to I R an Asshole, care of the Phil Hendry Show, Premier Radio Networks, Sherman Oaks, California. Wytosi and Tahid, where are you? I got to talk to you. I want to know how your life has turned out. Are you still together? Is the child in foster care yet? Are the two of you working, or have you just gone ahead and scored a few rocks and sit at home all day long going, no, it's mine, it's mine. Have you gotten a gig, man? I mean, you're a good-looking guy. Your wife, you're okay, though, man. Boy, both of you are a little funky, if you want my honest opinion. But I bet you're swell actors. And guess what? I have a deal with NBC. I'm developing a TV show. I think I'm going to put the two of you in my very first episode. It's going to be called The Negroes Next Door and How We Can Get Them Out of the Neighborhood. What do you think of that? I'm kidding about that, of course. I would never do that. But I will want you to do a few stereotypical things. Like, I don't know, do some of that cornbread humor. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, stuff, I don't want to be stereotypical, but how about if we have you have a kid and you're making out with people that aren't your spouses? You can come in, and then you can get all pissed off at me for stereotyping you as I serve watermelon in the commissary. I'm sorry, I hate you. Anyway, I think we've hired a writer for our show, and so we're going to move right along to that fateful day that we put it on film, and then we give it to the NBC suits, and they say, yeah, that's real good, Phil. Thank you. You do have another job. Yes, I have a radio gig. Oh, okay, that's great. No, I mean no animosity racially, of course. I don't want anybody to start writing letters and saying Phil Hendry is a racist. I heard what he said, and of course I'm saying that I'm kidding, but we know that he isn't really, and I knew it all along about him. Why can't a couple of people have a child and still be unfaithful to each other and act like absolute and utter boors on television? It's got nothing to do with the color of their skin, does it? No, of course it doesn't. It has nothing to do with the color of their skin. The other people on that show are what, white? They weren't they? And I can't imagine the disease that poured out of off the set of that show. So, with all due respect to all of you, I'd like to say hello to the cast of Temptation Island, and I hope you're comfortable. I think the nurse is going to be coming around with a little more penicillin. 1-800-449-8686. We're done. Excuse me.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
We're going to talk to Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police in just as soon as we get him on the line. I think we do now have him. He is at his home in the city of Torrance. Jay, you there?
Oh, yeah, Phil, right here.
And tell us about what's going on now with the sniper situation in Washington.
Phil, it's, right now Citizens Auxiliary Police, in association with the Maryland Volunteer Mounties, are encouraging people in suburban D.C., not to let the fear make you look foolish. It's understandable to be a little afraid, but I like to think that we in the Citizens Auxiliary Police can set an example and show people that we aren't afraid.
All right. Is your wife and daughter, or your wife and son?
My wife and son, that's correct. And if, pardon, Phil, I'm trying to get online right now, so if you, I've had some computer problems.
Yeah, that's fine. Is your wife and son in Washington?
That is correct, Phil. Marcy and my son Cliff are in Washington to go to the Smithsonian, the Supreme Court, and some other areas for my son's school. And unfortunately, I had business, but I'll tell you, I wish I was there right now.
Tell us about, you've been rather opinionated. I saw some press releases from your organization. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Well, I just think, Phil, that people are giving into the fear. I think that if I was in Washington, D.C. right now, I want to tell you something right now. If I was there right now, I wouldn't be afraid. Well, I'd love for that guy to try to take a shot at me. I think there's some things we can do. But the thing that's most disappointing to me right now, Phil, is that I'm not in Washington with my wife, Marcy, and my son, Cliff, because I'm not afraid of this guy at all. And I would love for this guy to come look me up. But unfortunately, I can't be there. So what we are saying is the police in the Washington, D.C. area need to be more proactive. I think the police, this Chief Charles Moose, is a good officer. But I don't believe they're making much headway. And I think they're rather slow and inexact. And so that's what I think. And it's difficult for one police official to be critical of another. But the fact is, I wouldn't be standing around like these police are. I'd go and kick ass, and I really mean that. And if I were able to go to work with my wife and son, but...
You say that these police officers are not kicking ass?
No, I don't think so at all.
Well, what would you do?
What would I do?
Yeah, what would you do if you were in... And you're not in Washington because you've got business, but what would you do if you were there?
Let me tell you what. I would go door to door. I would do surprise searches of every single home in the Fredericksburg, Williamsburg area. I would do some kind of strip searches. I would use a policewoman dressed up as a housewife and draw this guy out. I think there's a lot of fear going on. I think the police are acting a little too fearful. That's what I'd do. And I can tell you right now.
What business are you doing?
What business do I do now?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not able to go because I had business, also got a little bit of the flu, and I don't feel good. So a lot of things, I just want to stay back.
Well, look, the reason you gave my producer is that you were staying home because you, from this field trip, is because you felt ill, right?
That's correct.
Are you ill?
I do have a flu bug, which came on me, and what's the point of your question?
Well, I'm not... I don't know. I'm not trying to say anything. I just wondered what kept you in California while your wife and your son are in Washington. I mean, how do you feel right now?
I don't feel good right now. In fact, I'm taking my temperature right now as we speak. But what I wanted to say more than anything, Phil, is that the police are blowing it in Washington.
Can I interrupt you for a minute?
What's that?
How can you be talking and taking your temperature?
Taking it rectally. It's a little more accurate.
All right, look, Admiral, I think the police are doing the best they can.
Well, I wish I was there, Phil, because I would kick some serious ass. The police are not kicking ass. You say they're doing the best they can. If that's the best they got, I certainly wish Citizens Auxiliary Police there. Well, it's one of the officers that works for us.
All right, 1-800, are you still trying to get online?
Yes.
1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Jay Santos. He is the Brigadier Admiral in the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Now, this is a volunteer police agency.
Well, Phil, every time you ask me a question like that, I know that's kind of a trick question.
I'm not trying to trick you, but I just want to say you are...
That's correct. We are not an official police agency, but I think that only makes us look better in this situation because were we in Washington right now, I think we would be kicking a lot more ass than the Williamsburg or Fredericksburg police are. Now, you got yourself a piece of garbage. He's out there with a high-powered rifle. Put the fear of Jesus in everybody. But I'm not afraid of him. And I would go door to door. I would have mandatory searches of people's homes and cars. I would take fingerprints off that tarot card. I would also go into every magic shop, every tarot card seller. And I take fingerprints off of every magic trick, all of the wax teeth and all the joke shops, too. But I don't see the police back there doing anything, and I would if I was there. But I'm not because I have the flu, and I also have to take the cars in tomorrow. We got to get some servicing done on them.
All right. Are you in fear for your wife and your son?
Am I in fear? I'm sorry, Phil.
Well, your wife and your son are in Washington. You're not. Because, as you say, you have the flu and you need to get the cars in. But your wife and son are in Washington right now on this school trip. Are you fearful for their safety?
Am I fearful for my wife's safety?
Yes, and your son.
I have told them that they should just go about their business. I think that they are... Let me tell you something, Phil. The shooter could be a fortune teller. I don't think the cops have looked at the palm readers yet because of all his tarot card deal. The shooter could be someone who runs a joke store or somebody who runs a magic shop. I think that if you look in police, a lot of the police folders, you'll find that two or three people that own magic stores and joke stores work. So my wife and my son, I would hope, would represent our family with guts, with determination. And I told my wife before she left, I said, you know I'd be with you if I didn't have the flu, but don't you ever be afraid of no sniper. Don't you ever not be afraid of no sniper. And I said, you go out to the stores, you do whatever you want to do.
All right, I want to give her phone number out here. And Admiral, I think the police are doing the best they can. You have spoken about them in a rather disparaging way.
I just don't think they're showing guts. I'd like to see those police officers show some guts. And damn this flu, God damn it. I'll tell you, I wish I was there. If I was back there, I'd be going to every house. I'd be pulling people out of their front doors. I'd be going to every tarot card shop. This flu, damn this flu. Because I'd be in Washington, and I'll look right down the barrel of the sniper if I was there. But unfortunately, I've got a flu bug, and I'm going to go out and get some orange juice. Mr. Henry, can I...
The flu bug is kept...
Mr. Henry, can I quote a little movie, and maybe you heard about it? A little movie called Dirty Harry. Maybe you heard about it. There's a line in that movie, Mr. Henry, I think, that I relate to very much when it comes to the sniper and people who are out there doing these kinds of things. It goes something like this. Go ahead and make me be able to make my day. I think that's the way that it goes. And what that means, basically, is...
Well, the line is make my day.
Be able to make my day, right. Or make my day?
Make my day is the line.
Right. And what that means is, go ahead, I'd love to have that sniper make my day. But right now I've got a cold, so I'll try to get on a plane later.
All right, Jay, a lot of interesting information you're giving us about your Citizens Auxiliary Police. Jay Santos feels that the police are... He doesn't think they're acting with enough guts, is the way he put it. And were he back in Washington with his wife and son... He'd kick some ass, is the way he puts it. He's with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. It is a volunteer police agency. Of course, I think it's easy to say and quite a different thing to do. Why he's not in Washington, he has the flu, and he needs to get some family business done. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Do you think that this man, who is with a volunteer police agency, is onto something? Do you think that they need to be more forceful? Do you think that they need to go door to door and do some strip searches and do some house to house searches? And maybe, just maybe, and I don't say this, this is not my opinion, but Mr. Santos is saying this, maybe the police themselves are scared. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
This is The Phil Hendry Show.
It's like a show of forces to find the average person, but the average person is terrified of the sniper in Washington, D.C. The average person out there is absolutely frozen in their seats. You don't want to do anything, but as a member of law enforcement, I'm not afraid. And I guess that's why they call us cops. And that's why I do what I do, Phil.
I'm with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Jay, you call yourself a cop. You're with a volunteer police agency. Your uniform is a white pith helmet.
Phil, you don't need to go down what my uniform is.
Well, I do, for the benefit of people that are not familiar. You don't wear a police officer's uniform. You wear...
I don't wear it because it is a crime to impersonate a police officer. What we are... It's Citizens Auxiliary Police, where we take a peek over the shoulder of the police.
No, I understand that. You wear a white pith helmet, you have a blue armband, you have Bermuda shorts and a khaki green shirt and wingtips with black socks. So you guys go out and you assist the police with flare drops or whatever, all right? But you're not a real cop.
Let me tell you something. You want to know why I'm a real cop? because I have absolutely no fear of this sniper. That's what makes me a cop. What makes the people listening to your program not cops is that they are scared, and if you pardon my language, crapless of the sniper.
And well, of course, anybody with a sane brain in their head would be afraid of a sniper.
Well, I don't. So what are you saying? It's normal for a man to act like a little girl?
It's normal for anybody to be afraid of a psycho case. What are you saying, my audience is chicken?
No, I'm not saying your audience is chicken. I'm saying your audience is like most people. They're scared. I can deal with being in an area with an active sniper. I can deal with it. I want to be in D.C. But as you know, I've got the flu, and I can't be there right now. God, how I wish I was there. God! And it angers me. It makes me angry. My temperature is right now. I'm on my test right now. Coming up 100. I can't go no place. God, Jesus and Mary, I wish to God that I was there in that area of Washington where that sniper is. Because I got no fear of him. Not unlike a lot of people listening to your show right now who probably scared. They got seven shades of doo-doo coming out. Excuse my language, Phil.
Well, I think you're being juvenile.
Excuse my language. But I got no fear. And right now, my wife and my son are back there, and that D.C. sniper's out there. Don't you think that scares me?
Well, can I just...
Don't you think that scares me?
Can I jump in?
But no, I'm going to ask you, don't you think that scares me?
Can I jump in here?
Go ahead.
If my wife and my son were back in Washington, D.C. right now, I would have a little bit of concern. I wouldn't not want them to be there, but I would definitely...
Well, that scares me, too.
All right, but I think I'd travel back there with them. If I had that kind of concern that you have.
Look, so what are you saying? I'm supposed to get out of a sick bed?
Well, what do you got, the flu or something?
Hold it right there, Phil. I happen to be sick. I've had pain since on Tuesday. I felt my throat. I was beginning to drain. My sinuses were draining. And I am very sick. And I don't feel good. That's all I'm saying. But if I was in Washington, D.C. right now, I would walk up to that sniper. I would take the rifle out of his hands. I would beat him over the head with it. I'd drag him by the scruff of his neck over the nearest police officer and say, here he is, here's your sniper. And I wouldn't act like some big chicken like most of the people listening to your show right now, like a lot of them listening to your show right now. And if the police in Washington weren't so afraid of the sniper, they'd have this fella. And if I got this guy, I would beat him over the head with his own rifle, and yes, sir, then I would sodomize him. And I say that...
Oh, come on.
No, sir, I say that because that's just what I would do. I'd teach him a lesson. I would bend him over the hood of a car. What?
I mean, I'm dumbfounded.
You're dumbfounded at what? The fact that I have courage? Understand, you got to understand something. You don't have
courage. The fact that you have courage? The fact that you have courage... You're here in a sick bed with the flu.
I happen to be sick.
Well, the Washington area sniper may have ceased his activities, and whatever the fear is, certainly we need to have our police deal with it.
And I'm saying police might be scared, just like most of the people are scared.
But you're not scared.
No, I'm not scared.
But you're at home right now, laying in a sick bed.
What are you suggesting? What are you suggesting?
Well, why are you... I mean, if you have...
I've got the flu, okay?
Well, yeah, but the flu can be overcome if your wife and your kid are in Washington.
I have the flu. I took my temperature, and I have an accurate reading. It's almost 100 degrees. That was taken rectally, which is the most accurate way to do it. So what are you trying to say?
Well, all I'm saying to you, sir, is this. That you must understand the police are working as hard as they can. And to intimate that they're cowards, I don't think does them any good.
I think they're afraid. If you'll notice, every picture we see of the Washington police, they're bent over looking for a needle in a haystack. And I get out there and trap the bastard instead of bent over showing their butt area to everybody on a national TV news area.
Jay Sanders is with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Is on the line with me. Our number 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Sanders believes that the police are afraid. He believes that most of America is afraid. And if he didn't have the flu, he'd be back in Washington.
You know, you're saying that with a lot of sarcasm, Mr. Henry.
Well, you're all right. You're telling me that if you weren't sick, you'd be back in Washington looking for that guy.
And when I found him, keep in mind, I would bend him over and sodomize him.
And I think that is really sick, okay?
Well, that's what I feel about.
Lisa, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say how how ridiculous it was that he sent his wife and son to Washington in the first place.
My son has a field trip with his school, ma'am.
Well, I'm sorry, but don't. I mean, isn't his life worth more than that? You don't know who this person is.
I'm not afraid of
going to.
My family's not afraid of him.
I'm sorry?
My family's not afraid of the snipers. You have to understand something.
Are you crazy? You don't even know who it is. You don't know who you're not afraid of.
This is probably what's different between your family and my family. My family does not cower in fear.
Mm-hmm.
My family goes about their business, go to Washington, D.C., New York City, whatever kind of city you have.
This is a difference. Another difference is my family doesn't make ridiculous choices.
A ridiculous choice?
That's ridiculous.
That's the capital of our country.
Could
we ought to be free to travel.
Could they not have done this field trip at another time?
No, this is a field trip. We ought to be free to travel in our own country. This is the capital of our country.
Yes, we are.
How can a sniper tell me when I'm supposed to go? And I'd be with them right now if I didn't have flu.
Well, you'd be with them.
Which is another have never mentioned that. You sound so ridiculously like a coward that...
What did you just call me?
A coward.
And
do
you're the one sitting there. Okay, are you in Washington, D.C.?
I'm sorry?
Are you in Washington,
D.C.? I don't have any reason to be there.
You apparently
do. Your family's there.
That's the only point I was trying to make, Jay.
Now, Mr. Rennie, would you keep out of it for a minute? Because this woman just called me a coward. I'm a frontline of law enforcement with Citizens Auxiliary Police.
I don't care what you are.
You're an idiot.
You make no sense.
I make no sense. I said,
yeah, you have a man out there that is killing people for no reason, no routine, but yet you send your wife and family and say, oh, we're not going to cower.
We're not going to allow this guy, and if I went back to Washington, D.C., this situation would be over, let me tell you.
Hon, you don't have an S on your chest. You don't know what would happen.
Ma'am, guaranteed, I go back there.
You have a thermometer up your butt right now.
Excuse me?
Your temperature for the flu.
What's that, ma'am?
I said, you have a thermometer up your bottom right now. Taking your temperature because you have a 100-degree flu temperature. My goodness, if you are that bad, take yourself there. I am sure they need you.
Ma'am, I don't know if you're a nurse or a doctor, but taking one's temperature rectally is the most accurate form. You want to make a joke
out of it? And it's 100 degrees. Get over it.
That's 100 degrees.
Take some time off, buy a ticket, and head on.
Ma'am, just because you're afraid, don't instill my family with
fear in
you.
I'm not afraid. I'm just not stupid.
Your children are probably afraid of their own shadows.
Wait a minute. The woman said over and over again.
If my shadows held guns and I didn't know who they were shooting at, yeah, we'd be afraid.
It has nothing to do with
fear or cowardness.
Ma'am,
it has to do with
realistic stupidity.
So this lady is a coward. You're not. You're just sitting at home with the flu.
If you intimate one more time that I'm a coward, Mr. Henry, I will sue you for slander. The broadcast enterprise you work for, anyone other listener want to call me that. I'm a brigadier.
You don't
admiral.
Know me, honey. You can't do nothing.
You just called. You intimated that I'm some kind of homosexual because I take my temperature rectally.
Oh no, honey. You're bringing in that. I never even thought that. I thought you're a fucking wimp.
Brigadier Admiral of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And that does not come easy, ma'am.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Back with Jay Santos in a moment.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Jay Santos with us. Are you still trying to get online, Jay? Or
sorry, Phil. Just trying to get online. There's a couple of chat rooms that I'm in.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. You've said a few things here, Jay. You've said that the police and the public at large is afraid of the D.C. area sniper. You have said that you're not afraid of him, and were you not sick with the flu?
You continue to bring that up, Mr. Henry. I find that insulting.
I'm not intimating anything, sir.
Well, it sounds like you are intimating that I'm a coward.
I'm not intimating anything. I'm just saying, you said if you were not sick with the flu, you'd be in Washington, and you made the statement that you'd find the guy, you'd break the rifle over his head, and you'd sodomize him.
That is correct, and that is a form of a punitive measure in some prisons. Yes, sir.
Yeah, among animals, sir.
I'm sorry?
Among animals and reprobates and scum, yeah. Not among civilized people, and certainly not among police officers.
Well, sir, this guy has got me angry.
Well, you've gotten so angry that you're making fun of your fellow police officers. That's what I don't understand. Karen, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Oh, great. Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a few points.
First of all, my husband goes to work worse than that. 100 degrees is nothing.
If you were any kind of a man
and your wife and kids are in Washington and you're so full of balls, your butt should be over there doing something.
I would be in Washington right now.
Instead, you're laying in bed, talking on the phone. I think you're pointless, and you're kind of a joke.
And what's
I think
your
you're
point?
A joke.
What's your point?
The top of your head. You are ridiculous.
Oh, that's so funny. Where'd you get that from, your 3-year-old kid?
You're ridiculous. How come you're laying in bed instead of doing something? You are no Brigadier Admiral of anything. You're a self-proclaimed something, but we can't figure out what, so why don't you just get out of bed and go down there and kick some butt?
I have said,
and how are you going to kick butt of somebody you can't find?
I love my family, and I would
be protecting
my family.
Well, why aren't you there?
My family
if you love them so much.
First of all, my wife doesn't need to have her big bad husband around like some of you women do, okay?
Oh, no.
My wife can take care of herself.
Well, she got picked off by the sniper. Your ass would wish you were there.
Absolutely. But my wife has
her
up here.
Okay, but no, you're in bed, and you're talking on the phone instead of doing something.
I came down with the flu.
You're not doing anything for anybody where you are except sounding like an idiot on the phone.
Dr. Prescott told me to take the Z-Pack and to go to bed.
Okay, but what does your conscience say to do as a man? It says
I'm
to go see where you're
good.
Needed, and you are needed in Washington, D.C. so bad.
Can I ask you a question?
I think you're a joke.
Am I supposed to be in Washington even though I have shivers? Even though I have the shivers?
I think you're a joke. That would not stop a real man.
I am every bit a real man.
You're a self-proclaimed man. You are no man.
Wife,
you're a boy, and you do
something?
A lot of talking and a little of no action at all.
Well, I think Karen's saying like,
can I say something here? I begged my wife to let me come with her to Washington. She saw how pale I was.
Jump on a plane and get your butt down there.
She'll be mad and want me to go home to get back to bed.
So you're what? You are no man, sweetheart. If my husband takes control and would be there. You are no man to sit in bed sniffling while everybody else is busting their ass trying to find the guy.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and call me what you want to call me? I'm a what? I'm a
You're a self-proclaimed...
No, go ahead, say it. I'm a
What are you saying?
She wants to call me that.
He has no class.
Yeah, she wants to call me.
You know, the public would be better off without a guy like that. I think the public... Can you hear me?
I can hear you, man. Fine. I've been listening to everything you're saying. You're not listening to me.
The public would be much better off without your mouth and without your presence. You just stay in bed and let the proper people handle it.
You take care of your calls. Doctors say during flu season you're supposed to get rest and liquids.
Yes, please do us all a favor and stay in bed and take care of it.
Jay,
thank you.
Jay, if you went back to Washington in the shape you're in right now, would you be able to kick ass on the sniper?
I don't know.
I don't think he could anyways. His mouth runs so much the sniper would hear him coming a mile away.
You know, ma'am, you like your husband to take control. Maybe you're just a classic example of battered woman. Do your black eyes match your blouse? Yeah.
Oh, you're a case. You're a nutcase.
Yeah.
Have a good night. Good night.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make my point. That is no man.
I want to be in Washington. My stomach hurts, and I am
you
trying
are
to get
no
rid of
man.
It.
You know, you're
you are
really,
not a man.
If you really care about your wife, you might...
You're letting this woman call me a puh?
Your butt would be there if you cared.
And what's wrong with me taking my temperature rectally? I'm fine with my manhood.
Excuse me, I think you're doing us all a favor by sitting home or wherever you are, staying where you are. You're doing Washington, the police force, the FBI, and the sniper a favor.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, you're right. I am doing the sniper a favor, because if I was there, I'd kick his ass.
You couldn't find him.
You couldn't find him
if he was in front of your face. You sound like an idiot, like you don't even know what you're doing or talking about.
Okay, so here,
okay.
I'll get out of bed, I'll go find the sniper, I'll die of pneumonia, and then you'll all
do
be happy.
Something,
then you'll all be happy.
Favor.
Well, look
just
at Karen. Karen, you're making
something.
A good point. You are disgusting a lot of people, Jay.
Why is that?
Because you call other people a coward. If you hadn't called other people a coward, maybe we'd have some sympathy. But for you to say the police are cowards, and
I've been on the front line of law enforcement. I'm a Brigadier Admiral, Citizens Auxiliary Police.
You're nothing.
What do you mean a Brigadier Admiral?
Is there anybody under him? Can I ask him that?
Yes, we have
a
series.
What do they think of you sitting at home in bed while they're trying to do something?
I called to see if anybody could show up and fill in for me, but they're all... They're working today.
Wow, it sounds like the public has a really good team going on there.
Thanks a lot. 1-800-449-8686. Armando, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hey, Jay.
Yes, sir. You think I'm some kind of puss?
Yeah, I think you're some kind of a puss.
Why?
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 Your tummy hurts, and you know, and I can't. I'll get pneumonia and then die.
Dr. Prescott said I had a shakes.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action.
Let me take it out of my butt.
It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers, or...
Rangers, auxiliary police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
I have the shakes. Someone get me a blanket.
You're a puss.
Go ahead, say it. I'm a puss.
You're an idiot.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
There's a feeling, a very, very special feeling. It's a feeling that's hard to describe. A feeling that just takes hold of you and spreads throughout your entire being.
It's the feeling of winning a dream vacation for two. And this month, Toyota wants you to get the feeling during National Car Care Month. Toyota's giving away 12 great vacation packages, complete with airfare and accommodations, at your choice of over 400 participating five-star hotels in the continental U.S. and Hawaii. Plus, 1,000 lucky Toyota owners will win free oil changes for 3 years. How would that feel? Come on into your local Toyota dealership, where you get the very best service by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts, and enter Toyota's National Car Care Month sweepstakes.
Sweepstakes ends October 31st. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited. Official rules available at dealership.
Come on. Wouldn't you like to get the feeling? I thought you would.
Want to save big on your next set of Goodyear tires? Then now's the time to buy. Because right now, you'll get your very own $50 U.S. savings bond when you buy four selected Goodyear tires. Choose from popular passenger, performance, and light truck tires. And get a $50 U.S. savings bond. But you better hurry. This offer ends October 26th. Just call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and the Goodyear store near you. Or stop by a participating retailer where Goodyear tires are sold.
A guy runs a shop. It's an antique shop, and there's antiques everywhere. So he takes pictures, digital pictures, with a Sony digital camera. Organizes them on a Sony Vaio NV notebook PC, the one with the mobile Intel Pentium 4 processor M. And these pictures, there's inventory system. His all-digital, all-visual inventory system. That's a good idea. No, a great idea. And in the world of small business, Sony helps great ideas get done. Visit Sony.com/smallbiz and see how.
You can call me every name you want, but terrorists go all over the country trying to scare the seven shades of crap out of people. I think you're a jackass.
But you know what? I think they would have done it on a grand scale. Like, they would have had snipers in every city shooting people. Outskirts of Washington,
right.
D.C.
I agree with you, Christy.
Well, I need something to wipe... Ma'am, this is Pauline. So you say you believe it's terrorists or you don't?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, ma'am. No? I don't know what opinion you got. Or you believe it is a terrorist?
No, I believe that it is a sick person or a couple of sick people. I think he very well could have somebody driving the car helping him. But I don't think that it's
Okay, what is going on there?
I'm looking for something to wipe with, all right?
Okay, listen, Christy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
My opinion is, ma'am, are you still there? I think
the lady's hanging up. I don't understand.
I got it. Phil, I'd like to say, put the cigarette out, please. No, I will not, sir. I've taken your insults. No, I will not. Phil, I'd like to say, put the cigarette out. What's that? You know what it is. Now you're trying to tell me that you have a gun. Yes, I do. And if you don't put the cigarette out, I'm going to shoot you. I'm going to shoot you in the fat of the leg. You're going to shoot me in the fat of the leg? I'm not going to put the cigarette out. God! God! Oh, damn, you shot my ass! That's right. You got it.
You got it. You got it. Now's the cigarette out or not?
Did you shoot him?
You're GD right, I did.
Wow!
Yeah. Now do you think it's terrorists?
Shot me in the butt, man.
That's right.
You shot him?
Yes, I shot him.
With a gun?
No, with a pea shooter. With a gun, yes!
He shot me, Phil.
Are you all right, Paul? Do you need an ambulance?
No, I don't. It's a flesh wound.
Oh, a flesh wound here. Ow! That a flesh wound?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
That's funny. Funny that is. All right, that's from our Comedy Gold archive from yesterday. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. By the way, I noticed that one of the terrorists, or alleged terrorists, that was arrested in Portland goes by the name of Bilal. That also happens to be the name of the ghoulish twin brother in the film Basket Case. So don't tell me these cats are Muslim, man. They're sitting around late at night. They're throwing back a couple of G&Ts. They're watching Bucket of Blood Review on Channel 86. And on comes Basket Case 2. I just want to call myself Bilal, man. That's sweet. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you're real Al-Qaeda, man. You're real scary. All right, here is another little piece of news I thought you'd be interested in. I know you don't know who Harry Belafonte is. I don't know why this stays in the news. Harry Belafonte is a singer. He's black. He made the comments about Colin Powell, that Colin Powell was nothing more than a house Negro, basically. That the and if, perhaps you're not familiar, the stratification, subcultural stratification that exists among African Americans has a lot to do with skin color, believe it or not. The lighter the skin, the more intelligent, this is the perception, the darker the skin, the more oriented toward manual work. And so it was on the plantations of old that the lighter skinned black would go into the house and be the servant, the butler, in the kitchen, and the darker skinned one would be out in the fields. And this has sustained in some, it's sustained in some cases in the African-American community, and is a point of satire and sometimes controversy. Well, Harry Belafonte is an old-school black entertainer. He did great things during the civil rights efforts of the 60s, but like so many, he sort of clung to some old stereotypes, and so he was inspired to say that Colin Powell was a house Negro doing the bidding of his master, and that, he's not out in the fields. The reason why all that stuff is sort of bankrupt is because Harry Belafonte's life ain't exactly what I would call a shining example of, a shining example of not compromising. I mean, a guy made his whole career on, I don't know if you've ever heard these cornball Caribbean songs that our parents used to listen to, or maybe our grandparents. You know, that kind of Xavier Cugat bullcrap with the timbales and, you put on the seagrass hat and wear those pedal pushers and sort of do the marimba down the beach. You know, that kind of colonialist mung that my folks used to listen to that jazz. They'd have these albums, The Sounds of Brazil. You know, that's what Belafonte did. I mean, he got in there any way he could. He slipped in through the back door there to record company, and they said, yeah, sure, boy, do a couple of those songs that sound black enough, and maybe we'll give you a couple of record deals. And they did. They made him a very wealthy man. But Harry Belafonte seems to think he never compromised a day in his life, which is the biggest load that has ever been shoveled, since the recycling truck didn't show up. Dig this, man. He said this yesterday on Larry King. And this is dumb. Does this sound dumb to you? Quote, the public does not come from the same kind of a sophisticated sense of history and all the different things that I've been exposed to, end quote, Harry Belafonte. Maybe the public doesn't come from the same really sophisticated sense of history. Harry Belafonte doesn't know anything about history. All he knows is how to quote Malcolm X. That's all he knows. And if he thinks that it's a sophisticated sense of history to know about the stratification of skin color and subculture in the black community, he's pretty stupid, because most white people I know that. Ain't he the guy that did Louie Louie? He is. Louie Louie, oh man, she's nude, or whatever that song was. Forget it. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up next hour, we have something that we think will blow the lid off the advertising campaign currently on the air, placed on the air by Allstate. Allstate has an ad. Maybe you saw it during the football season, during some of the games last week or last weekend. And it shows a guy in a NASCAR race using his blinker, using his turn signal to change lanes. We feel that the Allstate ad was inspired by our show, a bit we did with Paul Tubby Lane, former NASCAR driver. We're going to run that for you next hour, along with a few other things, including a Bobby Dooley flashback. We also have a contest we'd like to perform for you next hour called Who's Got the Biggest Pair? And we're trying to think of a contest that will involve men. Who's got the biggest pair? We're trying to think of a contest that would involve women and wouldn't have such a sophomoric title. Who's the biggest chick? I don't know. Who has the biggest eggs? All right. Who's got the biggest feet? I can't think of anything on a woman that's be large. I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Back with all of that crap in a minute.
This is the Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We'll get a phone call in here in just a moment, but first, we're going to play a game called Who's Got the Biggest Pair? You think you're some kind of a man, give us a call, 1-800-449-8686. It could mean a Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt for you. You think you're some kind of a man. Give us a call, 1-800-449-8686. That number again, if you're not too scared. 1-800-449-8686. Hi, Kelly. Kelly.
Yes.
What's up?
Hey.
Stop.
Phil.
Stop.
The issue. Hi.
Right.
Hello.
What's up, babe? What do you need?
I just wanted to bring up a point. I'm so sick and tired of hearing within the black community who is the blacker man. And it's really hilarious to hear it coming from Harry Belafonte. He's married to a white woman. It always seems to be this pissing contest. And although Harry Belafonte has, you know, worked on issues in Haiti and also Africa AIDS issues, Mr. Powell has done more for this country and more for representing in a positive manner the black culture than Mr. Harry Belafonte with his nonsensical songs.
Well, I don't believe there's a black culture, and I don't know who's done better for the so-called black community, Harry Belafonte or Colin Powell. I'm willing to believe they've both done really good things. I think there's a black subculture, just like I think there's a white subculture. And I don't ordinarily think that white folks commenting on black folks is the way to go, but when the guy says really stupid things, really stupid, things that any school child would chuckle at, he's really made himself look bad. And the guy laying out that house Negro stuff, man, that's like 1980s material. You know, that's like, that's even further back. That's the whole...
Yeah, I was going to say 50s or 60s.
50s, 60s Malcolm X thing. What? And then the guy comes out and says, well, I've got a sophisticated sense of history. What's this guy's name? Harry Belafonte couldn't hold his own with a fourth grader when it came to history. And here's the thing that's really sad. People, whether they're white or black, not knowing their own history Sad, sad, sad. And I would think of any people on the face of the earth that would do well to recognize their own history, it would be the African-American or African. White folks, too, for that matter. I mean, white people are notoriously stupid when it comes to their own history. But the desperate straits and the life situation that a lot of black folks find themselves in, I think would necessitate understanding history. And when people have Harry Belafonte to look to, as an example of an educated African-American man? Oh, there's trouble in River City, man. And it starts with P and it ends with L, and that stands for pool. Dig? She's gone. Yeah. What?
Scott!
Okay, honey. I hear you. You were going to say, right on, Phil. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Brett. Brett?
Yes, sir.
Hold on, and here is Chris. Chris?
Chris, yeah, I'm here. I'm
Chris and Brett, right?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, guys, now here's the game. Pretty simple. Here's what we're going to do. In a 60-second span, I want each of you, at the same time as the other guy, I want each of you, in a 60-second span, when I say go, name as many different war movies as you can. You got that? You got that?
Yeah, I got
okay,
it.
Okay, ready, set, go!
Platoon.
Full Metal Jacket. Platoon,
Full
Metal Jacket,
Three.
The Beach.
You suck. Come on, baby! Come on, baby! Gobble from the bread, take me all over time. All right, anyway, who's got the biggest pair? You can step up to the plate and play. It's worth a Jay Santa Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. But as I was saying about Harry Belafonte, I'm a white man. I can say what I wish, how I wish, you know. Here we could do a game called Who's the Dumbest Black Man Out There, but then that would, you know, that's very, be taken the wrong way, wouldn't it? I'm telling you, I said this the other day and I mean it. 9/11 has changed a lot of things. You think I'm kidding? See, I'm not so hep and full of myself as to say things like, oh, isn't it humorous when we say the terrorists win? No, I don't think it's humorous at all. I think it's right on. I think it's very true when friends of mine won't fly in airplanes. I got a friend of mine right now. I haven't been on a plane since 9/11. And I also think that some things have changed since 9/11, just not all the stuff that most of the people in the print media and other broadcast media thought changed. One of them is we are a community now today more than ever before, whether we like it or not. We can't afford, any longer can we afford as a country, to see ourselves as anything other than Americans. Yeah, I know you're Italian and Greek and Greco and Roman and black and Indian and Asian and Asiatic and Scandinavian. Whoopee-doo, good for you. Go on off to the Hungarian Folk Dance Festival, dance around in your funky-looking gypsy costume, go down to the Italian restaurant and have your clams and linguine sauce, and then get out of my face. We need Americans. Before 9/11, maybe we didn't need so many Americans. We had the luxury of being all of those marvelous subcultures that we like to talk about, the diversity and what have you. Today, the wolf's at the door, baby. They want to kill you. They want to kill you, your kids, your house, your pets. They want to burn your kid's school to the ground. They want to blow your freeway up. They want to take your money away. They want to incinerate you in your office building. They want to do it all, and they want to do it fast because they can't wait until Muhammad starts doing his funky thing. They want to get Mecca going. They want to get the Mecca West going. Dig? Think I'm kidding? Well, you know I'm not kidding. You know I'm not kidding. You know what they just did, don't you? You heard about it last weekend. They blew up 300 people in a couple of nightclubs, and they weren't even Americans. They just looked like Americans. They were Australians. Al-Qaeda, they ain't too bright. They don't care what white people they blow up, so long as they look a little whitish. Well, not even whites. They blew up blacks. They blow up everybody. White, black. If it looks American, blow it up. Unfortunately, because they ain't too bright, the only economy they ruined is Indonesia's. And maybe a little bit of Australia's. Well, no, Indonesia's. They just screwed up Indonesia's big-time tourist economy. Good move, guys. And all you did was piss them off, because now they're going to be looking for you guys under every rock. Today, we can't afford any of it. And Harry Belafonte, of all people, here's a guy whose name I keep hearing, oh, you know, well, Harry Belafonte's going to be at the Greek Theater, and Harry Belafonte's going to be at the... I still can't place this cat. I don't know what he does. He sang that one tune, the banana song. He's singing about a banana sling. A beautiful man in banana hammock. Whatever it is. Some guy in a banana hammock. Whatever. I don't know what else this cat does. He did the civil rights thing. Groovy. He's got the daughter. She's all right. Whatever. Her music is about as dull as her old man's. She's got a nice body. Okay. Screw him. 1-800-449-8686. Time to play. Who's got the biggest pair? Could be worth that big time thing. For the first two callers here, I think it was Scott and Todd. Scott, hi. How are you doing? Welcome to the Phil Henry Show.
How you doing?
Good, Scott. And here is Todd. Todd, how you doing?
Good. I'm good.
Hey, Janice, what's the other questions that we had that we wrote down? Do you remember, or will you just go back to the war movies? Okay. Well, what? Not porn stars. Something else. We had a couple of really good ones.
War movies.
Oh. Not sports cars. No. All right. Let's go to the war movies. You ready?
Yeah.
When I say go, you got 1 minute to name as many war movies as you can. Ready? Go.
Save a Private Ryan, Band of Brothers, Midway, Tora, Pearl Harbor, Gettysburg, North of the South, Blue and the Gray, The Longest Day,
Devil's Brigade.
Bye. They can't get a minute's worth of war movies? I mean, you could log on to IMDb.com and go for it. They did 10 seconds worth of war movies. You want to see me do it? You want me to go up against Jeff? Jeff? Jeff?
Yes.
You ready, man? It's you and me.
What are we going to do?
We're going to name as many war movies as we can in 1 minute. Who's keeping the clock? Craig, you ready?
I'm ready.
Go. The Longest
Thin
Day,
Red Line, Bridge Over the River Kwai,
Bridge Over the River Kwai, Saving Private
Full
Ryan,
Jacket,
Full Metal Jacket,
Tora, Pearl Harbor, The Big Red One, Kelly's Heroes,
Kelly's Heroes, how about, Patton,
Tiger Shark, Up Periscope,
Run Silent, Run Deep, The Enemy Below,
U-571, Sands of Iwo Jima, Widowmaker,
Back to Bataan, the Pearl Harbor,
Father Goose,
Air Force, Father Goose, Air
oh,
Force,
oh yeah, Gregory Peck, great
Apocalypse
movie.
Now, Platoon,
The Deer Hunter,
The Deer Hunter, that's a good one, the Hamburger Hill, Hanoi Hilton, Bridges of Toko Ri, Bridge Over the River Kwai,
30 Seconds Over Tokyo.
That's a good one, too. 30 Seconds Over Tokyo. Okay, Jeff, you win, man.
All right.
Hold on, brother. Where are you living?
Grand Rapids, Michigan.
That's very good. Oh, here's one more. Sergeant Bilko. All right, Jeff, hang on the line, and you're going to win yourself a whatever the hell it is, a Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. Wow. Sergeant Bilko. Bridges of Toko Ri, Bridge Over the River Kwai. I couldn't think of any of the other Back to Bataan. That was it. All right, next week we'll do it again with another question that only a guy could deal with. Next week? Some kind of a thing. I don't know. Name a lot of parts of an engine or something. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
This is the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, coming up, an example of, I think, a major advertising agency stealing an idea from our show, and we're sitting here waiting for the check, and I'm getting a little upset about it, okay? Anyway, here is Terry. Terry?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
First of all, I want to say there is a black culture. Harry Belafonte represents that black culture.
What is that? What do you mean black culture?
Black culture, black artistic culture.
Oh, music.
Visual, literary, and performing.
Give me an example of literary black culture.
Alex Haley's Roots.
That's black culture, history. the history of a family is black culture. A man Alex, writing a book
Haley's,
about...
Alex Haley's roots is the history of the African-American saga.
Yes, but I'm talking about an example of black literary culture. That's the history of a family. In other words, how do black people write differently from white people?
How do black people what?
Write differently from white people.
That wouldn't determine the culture.
Yes, it would.
I beg
you. Give me an example. What connotes black writing that you wouldn't find in white writing, for instance?
Black writing deals with black oppression.
Oh, and white writing deals with white superiority?
You got it.
I see. So if a black man wrote a book about how he digs George Bush, that's not a black book.
That is a black man writing about a white.
Is that black culture?
Not the essence of it, but is a
right, so
variant of it.
Sometimes a black man could put pen to paper and not be writing in the style of black culture. I wonder what that makes that black man.
Now,
is he leaving his culture behind?
The culture is born out of experience.
Culture is born out of shared experience, true.
And
black folks like baseball?
We're talking about literary.
Well, let's talk about sports. Do black folks like baseball?
Of course they like baseball.
Well, is that black culture? Or is that white culture? Or do they
sports
watch
is
baseball?
Not a good example.
Do black people watch baseball differently from white people? Is there a black kind of baseball that I'm not aware of?
As you know, baseball had its barrier to break. Jackie Robinson proved that.
Well, all right. There are black baseball players and there's white baseball players, but I'm wondering, is there a black kind of baseball?
What's your point?
My point is, I don't believe in something called, quote, black culture. I believe there's subcultural differences in this country, but they're all hooked together by an American experience. So there's nothing you can tell me about that you call black culture that isn't infused with and connected to a greater American culture. And so that's why I call it a subculture, not a culture in and of itself. And I don't give a crap if it's called Ebonics, which I think degrades African Americans unbelievably. I don't care if you call it dancing, because rock and roll draws from hillbilly as well as rhythm and blues roots. So I don't really know what you mean by black culture. I do know what you mean by subculture. That's my point.
You're defining the argument.
I'm defining the argument?
Yeah, because you have the air.
But no, sir, I'm just asking you to... Can you define culture?
It emanates from African culture.
Can you define... What does?
Black culture.
Well, what is black culture? You haven't told me what it is.
Black culture is the counterpart of white culture.
All right, I'll make it easy. What's white culture? Give me an example of white music.
Elvis Presley.
That's white music. Is that white music?
Yeah.
All right. As you know, Elvis Presley's music has rockabilly as well as rhythm and blues. So now you're telling me that rhythm and blues is white culture too.
You asked for an example. I gave you an example.
All right. Well, thank you for attributing rhythm and blues now to the white race. I thought that was uniquely African-American. Now I'm corrected. So Elvis Presley's music, white music, is rhythm and blues, which is white people's...
Well, it has rhythm and blues influences.
You mean it was influenced by black people?
That's the story I get.
That's the story again? I would say that Elvis Presley's music is uniquely American because it has rockabilly, hillbilly, which is distinctly Appalachian white, and rhythm and blues, black. So it is very much a synthesis. I wouldn't call that white music. I do call it American. I have a hard time pinning it to either race, though. Although he was a white guy, no doubt about it.
You're trying to nullify black culture.
No, sir, I'm not. I recognize subcultural realities, but black culture doesn't exist any more than white culture does.
Black culture exists.
No, it doesn't.
It emanates from Africa.
but you can tell me where it comes from, but you can't give me an example of it.
It is.
You called Alex Haley Roots an example of
in the visual, literary, and performing arts.
Well, I asked you about literary. You said Alex Haley's Roots, and I forgive me, sir, but I don't think writing a biography is uniquely African American. I'm sorry. It means writing about
for you about the experience of slavery is.
That's about a black family, but that's not an example of uniquely African American writing. Because I asked you, you give me an example of what connotes black literature. What is the example? What is the overriding common distinction among all black literature? You didn't have an answer for that.
He also wrote the autobiography of Malcolm X.
Yeah, I read it. Did you?
No, I didn't. I saw the film.
Wait a second. I read the book.
I saw.
So now I know more about Malcolm X than you do. Now, where does that put me on the ring on the scale of black culture? I think I'm a little bit higher up the ladder than you.
No.
Yeah, I know more about Malcolm X's life than you do.
You know.
In fact, I've read his speeches. I've seen documentaries on him. I've read about 3 books on Malcolm X. In fact, I would go toe-to-toe with any African-American right now that wants to call up and have a discussion with me about the life of Malcolm X. 3 out of 4 black callers would learn something from me, not the other way around.
What can you teach me about Malcolm X?
You want to hold on? You ask me a question, I'll find out, okay? Hold on. Is this turning into a PBS show? Just tell me. I got to get my producer. Should I hang up? I don't know. 1-800-449-8686.
This is The Phil Hendry Show. Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Now I have my friend Terry on the line here. Terry is African-American. We were discussing black culture. I don't happen to think it exists. I think it exists more as subculture. Terry was mentioning Malcolm X. I said, well, I read the book. He saw the movie. I said, well, I probably know more about Malcolm X than you do. You were going to ask me a question, Terry?
I'm going to teach you about black culture.
Weren't you going to ask me a question about Malcolm X?
Well, what can you teach me about Malcolm X that I don't already know? That Malcolm was a man who
Who set him up in Boston?
Who what?
Who set him up in Boston?
Who set him up in Boston?
Who got Malcolm X acclimated to big city life after he left Omaha? Let's talk about something basic about this man's life. Who basically saved Malcolm X's life while he was in Boston? This is a basic human.
Well, let's talk about something basic to his life.
You know who did?
Saved his life?
You know who did?
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad saved his life.
Elijah Muhammad wasn't honorable. He was an infidel. He screwed everything that moved. And Malcolm X was murdered because he took the man
sexual,
to task for that.
Sexual morality with human morality.
And he was murdered, by the way, by Louis Farrakhan, a racist and a murderer.
Louis Farrakhan didn't.
A murderer. He murdered Malcolm X. He's a scum sucking, cold blooded murderer.
Louis Farrakhan didn't murder Malcolm X.
Yeah, he did. And Malcolm X's life was saved by, this may come as a shock, probably wouldn't be something that people would like to hear. Malcolm X's life initially was supported by his sister. His sister. Something that isn't in the movie by Spike Lee, because Spike Lee doesn't know how to write about female characters. But it was Malcolm X's sister in Boston who gave him a place to stay, gave him money, got him a job, and basically helped him transition from his life in Omaha to Boston. Thanks for calling, Terry. But my producer now says that this program has turned into a freaking Bill Moyers report. And we need something, anything, to get out of this. How's this sound effect? Okay, go ahead. You lay one on me, man.
Phil Hendry.
All right, then. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Now, this past weekend we saw a commercial on the football broadcast, which was an Allstate commercial, and it showed a NASCAR driver using his turn signal as he moved in and out of traffic on a NASCAR track. Now, I thought it was kind of interesting because we did a very similar bit, if not the exact same bit, back in August. Is Allstate taking our ideas and funneling multi-million dollar ad campaigns with them? Is an ad agency out there taking our ideas, claiming them as their own, and making all kinds of money off of Allstate? And at 15%, that's a lot of bread. I would ask for a cut. Probably won't get it. But here was Paul Tubby Lane. Now, remember the commercial I'm talking about? The guy is racing along, and he is using his turn signal in the NASCAR race. We thought it was very funny back in August to come on with a character who believed that NASCAR races should slow down, and oh yeah, they should use not only their turn signals but read maps.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Paul?
Yes, sir.
I understand what you're saying, man, but you're going to kill NASCAR if you try to do all of this. Safety's one thing, but those guys get out there...
Well, how am I going to kill NASCAR? I don't understand. You know, have you ever, let me tell you what, you ever been to a NASCAR race where they're doing 75, 70 miles an hour?
No, and I wouldn't go to one either.
Why not?
Because I'm not going to pay money to sit here and watch some goofball drive around the track at 75 miles an hour.
Well, that's not, then you don't know nothing about racing. Because racing is an interesting way that they change lanes.
Sir?
Yes, sir?
Excuse me, I drive for a living. I know much about driving.
Well, but sir, you know, the way they change lanes, the way they pass, the use of the turn signal. The other thing have you been to many NASCAR races?
Yes, sir, I have.
All right, don't you think the fans are too loud?
No. I think that you don't really like racing. You don't like having...
No,
get
sir.
Out with people that are having fun.
Maybe, sir, I love it. I love racing, but I don't want to go to... Let me tell you what, I've been to the infield at Daytona 500. I might as well be in hell. I mean, it's muddy, it's sloppy, and
yeah.
All these cars are going too fast. You can't keep track of anything. And with all due respect, driving a Ford, I don't know what you drive. What do you drive, an F-250?
Brother.
What you got?
I drive about 125,000, 150,000 miles a year in an 18-wheeler.
Well, you're a trucker. All right. Well, what I'm trying to say is real racing is getting out on a car that's set up good, doing 75 miles an hour, using turn signals.
Okay. The turn signal thing, I'm not going to argue with. But the speed, man, every driver that's in NASCAR now, I don't think any of them will drive after that if you try to do that.
Well, Jason, I know, sir. Yes, sir.
And I know that me and also any of my friends that are NASCAR fans watch it because of the speed.
Well, sir,
speed is part of racing.
Sir, we still have Dale Earnhardt today with us. We still have a lot of great drivers today with us. They'll slow it down and use turn signals and use hand signals too. When's the last time you used a hand signal? They don't do it anymore.
Actually, I used one yesterday when a stupid person in a car cut me off.
Well, God bless you. God bless you. Because, you know, most of these people in these cars, but I'd love to see it on a NASCAR circuit. And let me tell you what, I can't think of anything more exciting.
Man.
Well, I want to jump in here, gentlemen. Paul, you're telling me it's exciting to watch guys doing 75 and using hand signals.
What I'm saying is, well, see, now you're trying to make light of it.
No, I'm asking a question. This gentleman is kind of saying what I'm feeling. The speed is exciting. No doubt it's dangerous, and I mourn the loss of great driver. I don't go to see car wrecks. I go to see good maneuvering with that speed.
Well, that's idiotic, because that's not real racing. All you got to do is get a fast car. That's not a real driver. A real driver is somebody who takes a regular car, goes about 70, 75, is changing lanes in a very beautiful way, is using hand signals, using turn signals, can read a map.
Hey.
Well, gentlemen.
That's a truck driver, man. I'm sorry. That's a truck driver. That's my job. Okay?
Well, you gentlemen, all right, okay, so the next man that dies out on a NASCAR circuit this season, I guess you gentlemen would be laughing, is that right?
No, sir, I will not be laughing.
Well, then what do you find so funny?
I find it...
Are you telling me that I'm going to go to a race and watch some guys sit there and read maps and use hand signals and...
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Well, there it is, see? So, and you see that Allstate spot? I used to do commercials, and the ad agency gets 15%. back in the day when I would do a commercial, I'd write it and I'd voice it, and then the ad agency would take it to the client, and the ad agency would get their 15%. I didn't get diddly squat. That's the way they worked it in some of those small town ad agencies. They get the 15% of the juice, and I'm the guy that wrote it and voiced it, right? Now what's happening here with Allstate, man, or any of these companies flip on the radio, they hear a guy say something, they hear him do a riff on something, hey, that's not a bad idea. Like Frazier Smith, he's the guy that invented Party Animal. He came up with Party Animal. Budweiser copped it, stole it, put it in their ad campaign, he didn't get nickel one. What you need is a lawyer, good lawyer, and the money to pay him. Keep him on about a $20,000 retainer, and you'll be broke within a year. And then you, you know, forget it. Never mind. I'm sorry I brought it up. Okay, 1-800-449-8686.
This is the Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Go on our website, philhendryshow.com. Our website contains our radio show. It contains segments of our radio show as well as our webcast, which is now almost a year old. So I guess we're due for another webcast, aren't we, Janice? Sometime in December we'll do another webcast showing our prep, showing how we do our radio show, and you'll be invited to watch and enjoy. But if you go to our website, you'll also hear audio from our program, some of it short form that goes back 8-9 years in different generations of the Phil Hendry Show. And you will also hear you'll also be able to access a 30-day archive of our show, because we like to think that our website is really about the show, and the show is audio. And there's all kinds of cool stuff on the website, don't get me wrong. There is a diary section. We've got a wall of female listeners. You can log on to that or check that out and see the only 36 women in the world that listen to the Phil Hendry Show. We're the only radio show, in fact, that can post pictures of every woman that listens to it. So if you would like to see the women that listen to our program, go to our wall of female listeners. You can also check out a variety of entries in our scrapbook. When we went to Fiji, there's some Hawaii pictures in there. There's a lot of different pictures from various times in my life. Also, this week, our featured website, we always feature a website on the show. Our featured website this week is called The White Rose. It is about the most courageous student movement in the history of the world. And I'm not talking about baby boomers or the Vietnam War. It's actually older than that. If you'd like to find out more about the single most courageous student movement, seriously, probably in the history of the whole world, check out the White Rose site, and you can go to our website, and we've got a link to it, and it'll take you right there. As well as our daily show log and all kinds of other things, including the souvenir shop where you can get our Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt, which we gave away a copy of this hour. I guess you call it a copy, don't you? We gave away a copy of the shirt. We gave away a shirt. And we also have our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirts with, of course, our Best Of CDs. It's all there on the Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com. The audio quality is top-notch. It's the best anywhere. And for that, just a small charge of $6.95 is assessed. That's right, only $6.95 a month to be a member, to jump in, get a backstage pass, and hear the audio, all of it, on our website. Now, you can hear it there, or you can hear somebody bootleg it and play it back on some fan site, and it sounds like it's coming over shortwave. It sounds like Colonel Kurtz in the Cambodian jungle. You know that.
This is monitored out of Cambodia. I saw a snail crawling along the edge of a straight razor. That's my dream. That's my nightmare. To crawl along the edge of a straight razor and live.
So it don't sound like that. It sounds way, way better. And for only $6.95 a month, you're going to get the audio that you deserve. Top quality, highly groovy, whatever the hell the technical terms are, it's there. It is highly groovy and deaf. Stuff's dope. on our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Now, the 100 sexiest people in music, VH1. Which, by the way, is this on the VH1 website? By the way, nice going, VH1, that music behind the bars. Ho, ho, ho. Who's the guy that came up with that one? Have you heard about that? Oh, they're going to do a show where they got cons inside jail playing their music, playing their different hits. Convicted murderers, rapists, stranglers, mutilation killers, serial killers, you know, sheep bestiality experts. All of these guys are going to be on camera. VH1 is going to lay it out there. It's called Music Behind the Bars, and they've got family groups, parent groups, every kind of group up in arms. Good move. Whoever the brain surgeon is that green-lighted that one just goes to show you, these people, who knows what awaits me, man, when I finally try to pitch my show over at NBC. What hell will await me? Sorry, Phil, we're not going to air the show. What are you going to do? Well, we've got a nice show. It's a variety show featuring animal sex. We really think it's just going to be out of the park. Why don't you guys want to put my show? Well, forget it, will you? It's out of here. Come on. Don't you know what's happening, baby? We got this guy. He's an axe murderer, and he's, you know, shoved about 16 different body parts into his trunk, and he writes a marvelous Irish folk song. Always after me lucky charms. And what were you put away for? Well, I sodomized a goat, you know. So VH, did you hear about that? VH1 has greenlighted this show, and they got people want to rip their throats out over this thing. Can't say as I blame them. Anyway, they have the sexiest people in music. Number 100, David Lee Roth. Number 99, David Lee Roth. Now or back then? I mean, which version of him are we talking about? Because the last picture I saw of him, he don't look too good. Alicia Keys, David Cassidy, Kid Rock, The Coors, Lita Ford. Lita Ford was sexy. The Runaways. What a name for a band, an all-girl band called The Runaways. Tell me that didn't start the wheels turning in your sick mind, Pelton. Rod Stewart, NSYNC, Olivia Newton-John, Scott Weiland, Natalie Imbruglia. She's the sexy, dark-haired girl. Chrissy Hynde. You know, I met Chrissy Hynde. She was over at the radio station she used to work at. She weighed about, oh, I'd say 65 pounds. Skinny. No, 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 no. Skinny ain't sexy, man, and I've been trying to get Taylor to understand this for decades now. Skinny ain't cool. Bony ass ain't cool. What, are you gonna... I got some Auschwitz photographs if you'd like to see them. What, are you sick? Skinny's not sexy. It never has been. You has been? All right. Dave Matthews. Salt and Peppa. Whatever. Where are those girls now? That's over with them, ain't it? Can I take your order? Oh, aren't you a racist? Diana Ross, remember what I said about skinny ain't sexy. Fiona Apple, very cute, with that one eye that kind of turns in. And then, I shouldn't say that, she's, you know, Creed, Scott Stapp, lead singer. Good looking guy. Andy Gibb, Samantha Fox. Who is she? Is she a porn star? Samantha Fox is a pig, but what does she do for a living? She sings? She used to sing. Donna Summer, who, by the way, I saw Donna Summer on a TV show. I forget which one it was. She came out. She looked really good. She did. She's up around 180, but she looked fantastic. She did. Gavin Rosdale. Barry White. There's no accounting for taste. Now, Barry White is 12,000 pounds. Frightening as the day is long. Something that you've got to move into a room. He doesn't walk into a room. You've got to hire beacons. The cat can't get his clothes hand-tailored fast enough. He's busted out of pants as we speak. And yet people think he's sex on wheels. And I just saw a cover of Vanity Fair with him on the cover with Gwen Stefani and Shirley Manson and, you know, all these hot-looking chicks from music. And there's Big Fat Barry standing there. Big... fat and getting fatter, even in the picture. Even as a still photograph, the guy's getting larger. And yeah, and thank you very much. Chris just mentioned this to me. He was arrested last night for trying to eat Gwen Stefani. So, now the thing that's shocking is that they were able to get other people on the cover besides him. See, that's the thing that I... So, Calista Flockhart has been arrested for trying to eat her newborn, and Barry White is jailed. Barry White tried to eat Calista Flockhart, so, you know, this is big trouble. 1-800-449-8686.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.